Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Game two of the ALCS ended just a couple of hours ago. The Houston Astros tie up the series after the Yankees flex their muscles again in game one. Game two, Verlander goes out there. He's good. The Astros bullpen just slightly better than the Yankees bullpen as the Astros pull it out in 11 innings. A Correa walk-off home run against Jay Happ. And I never thought I'd really be saying this year with the Yankees. But if you want to place blame, the blame lies with the offense. I don't want to hear Aaron Boone this and too many relievers and he pulled this guy out too soon and that guy out. They got to the 11th inning on the road in a game that Justin Verlander started having given up two runs. Where was the offense? And he didn't even really have that many opportunities throughout the game either. You had one in the 11th. Gary Sanchez strikes out but doesn't strike out and then strikes out when he shouldn't have struck out. And then after that, it was one pitch and the game was over. So, series head back home to Yankee Stadium. Gerrit Cole, Severino in game three tomorrow night. You knew it wouldn't be easy, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
No, it wouldn't be easy. I'm still expecting this thing to go seven, man, and it's going to be heavy lifting for the Yankees in Game 7. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I was texting with a lot of Yankee buddies last night, you know, from the fan base. I always like to get the fans' reaction to it.
Yeah, ear to the ground.
Right, because what I am is I'm a baseball fan, and I want to see great baseball. What I saw last night was a manager that just basically went for it. And I love it. I love what Aaron Boone did last night. I really did. I mean, he saw that Paxton was struggling, couldn't get a first pitch strike to save his life, kept throwing his curveball in the dirt. Maybe it was just too many days off, or maybe he was too jacked up or whatever. And he saw an uneasiness about his starting pitcher. And I was sitting there, and I'm sure everybody else was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then when he came out of the dugout, I'm like, all right, he's locked in. He's ready to roll. He knows exactly what he has to do to keep this game close, and he kept it close. Chad Green was great. Now, whether or not you want to leave Green in again, maybe one more inning, they know what they're doing there in that case. You know, Ottavino gives up the home run, the tying home run. But I'm with you 100%, bro, because I can't believe I just said bro.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I am with you 100% when you say it's the Yankees offense, because – If there's a portion in this series where the Yankees are definitely going to have to win it, it's going to be once they get into the bullpen of the Houston Astros. There's no lefties in there. There's, you know, it's all righties, and that's where you got to make hay. And they did it, after they got to Greinke, they got to the bullpen after that, and that's one of the reasons why they were able to win game one the way that they did. And, of course, Tanaka's just absolutely brilliant performance. So, it's 1-1. It's exactly kind of like what we thought. Get one if you can. You had to win that first one.
Sure, and they did.
They did. And we were talking about it when we left on Friday. We didn't know whether it was going to be Tanaka, but we both advocated for Tanaka in that game.
Yep.
And then I don't know about you. I don't know how you felt last night, but when I finally sat down and the game started, I'm thinking, man, I don't like the way Paxton looks here. And he got out of it, once with a double play. Thanks, Allie. Appreciate it. So it's going to be that's the kind of games that I expected. I never expected a 7-0 game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did with this Yankee offense because they're capable of anything, and they do is score runs. But when Verlander's on the mound, of course, you expect maybe a low-scoring game. But yeah, I just...
Hey, you know what? You had two great pitching performances.
You
had
did.
One by Tanaka.
And one by the rest of the Yankee bull. I mean, really, Ottavino wasn't great, and Loaisiga wasn't great, and everybody else was really good for the Yankees out of the bullpen. And Aaron Boone is managing with the idea that his offense is going to break out at some point. That's what he's doing. So if he sees a guy struggling a little bit, he's like, all right, this guy's getting out of the game now because I love my bullpen. I got to keep this game close because my Savages are going to take over and that's the way we're going to win. And last night they didn't. It just didn't materialize at any point last night. Now, you could have be staring at another game on Tuesday where it doesn't materialize because now you've got Gerrit Cole. So, you know, after game one, you win in convincing fashion. You come back, game two, you're up a run after the Judge home run. You know, you're feeling like, man, could they get both in Houston? And then, of course, it ends up the way it ends up. And now you've used all these pitchers. You got Cole in game three. It's the roller coaster of this series now, man.
It's awesome. This is what you want. Well, it's not really what you want if you're a fan of a particular team. But as a baseball fan who loves watching Verlander pitch and Tanaka pitch the other night and watching Aaron Boone and AJ Hinch go toe-to-toe, that's the fun about real baseball. This is what this is. This is real baseball where everything's on the line and the decisions are made, and we can sit here and discuss, you know, over and over and over again the decisions. I love what Aaron Boone did last night. He used his bullpen. That is by far his biggest strength, maybe after the offense of the Yankees. The offense did not come through against the Astros bullpen last night. And I'm just going to say that I'm going to say this right now. And if the Yankees are going to win this series, I believe that game three now is the pivotal one because eventually they're going to have to beat Verlander or Cole somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And game three now with Cole on the mound come Tuesday and, you know, a day off today and everybody gets to come back and relax and kind of think about things and what's going on. And a couple of things that the Yankees, I think, have to think about. Especially now with Stanton's quad injury.
Ugh.
How bad is this injury? Because if this injury is bad and you take him out of the or off the roster now and replace him, that means if they do move on to the World Series, he can't play in the World Series. So that is kind of looming right now. With Encarnacion kind of mired in a little bit of a mini slump, Gary Sanchez in a little bit of a mini slump, you know, is it time to bring Luke Voit back and sit down Stanton and say goodbye to him for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it didn't sound like initially this seemed to be an injury that was going to knock him out for the rest of the postseason, but I don't know. They might have been playing coy, and the history with Giancarlo Stanton this year with injuries is there isn't such thing as a little injury with him. When he's out for an extended period of time. So, yeah, I couldn't help but to think, you know, if he's in the lineup after breaking out in game one, you know, he hits a home run, you know, would this game have gone differently? It's not like Cameron Maben didn't do anything in the game in his opportunities. And an Aaron Hicks pinch hit for him later in the game.
Too,
right. So, I mean, it's not like he went 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts, Maven, but, you know, you think about Giancarlo Stanton out of the lineup after he finally gets hot and gets some hits. Would that have swung the pendulum back towards the Yankees? You know, I don't know. I'm sure we're going to find out more about Giancarlo Stanton, but if he's just sitting in that dugout with a sweatshirt on for the rest of the series, that's just unacceptable.
You can't get him out of here.
Then forget about it.
Right.
Enough.
So he's done for the rest of the year then. Because I'm just telling you right now, the Yankees have to make that decision. They cannot allow, you know, one guy to hold up the entire thing, especially if Encarnacion is struggling. And look, we all know that he can hit pretty much at any moment.
Yeah,
but he looks a little bit lost now. At least
I just hope he's healthy because he's a guy that, you know, when healthy, doesn't go through slumps like this.
Right,
and he had that oblique situation, which is something that lingers. I don't know.
But that's my point now. You know, is it now time for Luke Voit? You know, as a DH, that's all I'm saying, and that's a question that they have to determine. I think today they'll determine it. They'll look at his quad muscle, and they'll try to determine whether or not he can be the player that he was the other night when he hit the home run. You know, and Aaron Judge is doing his thing. Gleyber Torres had a great game one, but last night it was all about pitching, and you know that's. See, this is the thing that I'm talking about. In that building, they're a different team. The Astros are a different team when either Verlander or Cole are on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, I still really, really like the Yankees at home. And, you know, Aaron Judge, excuse me, said it yesterday too. He's like, I love us at home. How could you not? You know, we saw the way that the Astros played down in Tampa. Now they're going into Yankee Stadium, which is just going to be absolutely nuts. Yeah, Cole's on the mound, but if you're going to see Gerrit Cole, you'd rather see him here, and then hopefully you don't see him in a Game 7 in Houston, and you just face him one time, and one time at Yankee Stadium, and you beat him. You know, another thing from last night.
You may face him on short rest, too, if they lose. You may see him twice on short rest.
Well, they'll probably go to Verlander 6, and, you know, maybe. I don't know. It's a possibility.
And it all depends on if, you know, Wednesday night's game gets rained out and gets pushed to Thursday. Then they got to play Thursday, Friday. Then they got to travel Friday. Then they got to play Saturday. Depending on what happens here, right, this weekend, you know, is going to determine how these games are going to be spread out.
Yeah, so Wednesday looks like a total washout during the day. It's just a matter of when the rain stops. And it could stop in time for the game because Wednesday is an 8:07. Of course, Tuesday is the 4:08, and Wednesday is the 8:08. So I don't know, but that's something for sure. That if that game gets rained out, everything gets pushed back, and we're talking Thursday, Friday for 4 or 5, and then, you know, with the day off, and then I guess Sunday, Monday for 6 and 7. Another thing people are going to call up about this morning, and we'll talk about, is Phil Nevin sending DJ LeMahieu in the sixth inning on the Gardner ground ball that Jose Altuve does not feel cleanly, bounces off of him, Correa gets it, fires home, cuts him down.
I mean, that's unbelievable. That play was unbelievable.
I would have sent him. I just...
Me too, 100%.
I mean, you don't expect Correa to come over and make this play.
No.
I'm sorry. I mean, if you're Nevin, you got to make a snap decision. Verlander's on the mound. You got to be able to be aggressive. I mean, I know it didn't work out, and he gets cut down, but that's
a great play by Correa. Absolutely great play by Correa. I mean, and, you know, the only thing that I would say about Phil Nevin's decision there, and I can't even believe we're talking about the third base coach.
But that's what I mean.
I know, but it's a big deal. I know. But the thing about it is that if you looked at where Correa was standing, you know, because they're playing Gardner, to pull. He's going to be a little closer to second base, and it's going to put him in this. But
listen, man, you see that ball go off Altuve.
Doesn't happen,
right? I know,
come on.
Right? You see the ball go off Altuve. You just got to send him. You have to, and it looked bad because he was out by a mile.
I know, but it was just such a, you know, it's a great play. Correa is a great baseball player. He's just a great baseball player. Mm-hmm. Just like Judge is a great baseball player. Just like Torres is a great baseball player, and Altuve is a great base. What am I keeping? Well, you have great teams here.
Yeah, no, this
and
is...
great teams are going to make great plays. That Aaron Judge double play from right field and DJ LeMahieu's glove.
Right.
He picked 3 balls in the first game.
Yeah, he's great over there. It's not even a natural first baseman. He's over there looking like Will Clark in his prime.
Yes,
he's been unbelievable.
So it's all good, and I want Yankee fans to call, and if you want to vent, you can do whatever you want. But my point is I'm not going to kill Aaron Boone for last night. I'm just not. I mean, when they get into that bullpen, that's where that offense has got to make it happen. All right, Adovino gives up a home run. It's a game tire. That's all it is. It's a game tire. They didn't lose the game there. You know, that all there was tied. So now you come back and you answer to that. And don't get into the 10th or 11th inning.
It's all about the offense, and it's a little bit scary that this game happened to them where they only scored 2 innings in 2 runs in 11 innings. It's a little bit scary now with Cole on the mound in Game 3, but it's all about the offense, and that's how Aaron Boone is managing. He's managing as if his guys are going to score 5, 6, 7 runs or more every single game.
But he's also managing to his pitching strength, and the pitching strength in this case is going to be 9 pitchers, a bullpen.
Yeah, and
that's going to be his strength. And I honestly, I love the fact that he yanked Paxton.
I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, he looked overwhelmed. He was sweating and looking scared. He just
Paxton
isn't, but that's what he was looking like. When Paxton doesn't pitch well, he looks like frightened.
They all look that way.
No, they don't.
But Joe, Chad Green came in and looked motivated. Now, he had a couple balls hit hard to him, but they hit him at the, you know, at the Yankees.
Right.
But I was good with pretty much everything. You know, Ottavino, look, man, you got to come in and do your job.
He hung one bad.
He hung it bad, and boom, it was gone. But
yeah,
you know,
that's
that lineup, too, that they're playing against. I didn't expect the Yankees. Well, I did say that I thought maybe the Yankees could win 11 in a row, but that was before, you know, the Astros, you know, took their series from the Rays.
That's right. Now, you did float that out there. One thing John Smoltz was talking about that I would be concerned with if I'm Aaron Boone is – So you have all these pitchers that you used last night. Now you got Severino pitching in Game 3.
They'll be fine.
Severino is not a guy who's going to go deep into a game. Then Game 4, what's the plan for Game 4? Do we have a plan for Game 4? Now,
don't worry about Game 4 until Game 4 gets here. You got to win Game 3.
But okay, fine. I get you got to win every game.
Chance to win and keep the game close.
But the more that you use all these guys when you know you have to use them in other situations,
Do you remember at the end of the season when I was screaming and yelling about home field advantage and all that stuff?
How could I forget?
Right, and he was limiting, you know, the usage of all these pitchers and, you know, mixing and matching and looking at – this is what that's all for. Now it's like it's everybody is up and ready to crank. This is what it's all about. This is we keep saying it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the metal meets the meat. This is the October baseball moments that we live for. And that's why he did, I think, the way he finished the season in September was to make sure that he had his guys rested and cranked. And he had 9 pitchers last night.
Well, it's going to be like that almost every night.
Unless it's
Tanaka. Tanaka came out with 70-something pitches.
But why can't Severino go out there and give you 6 innings? I don't understand why.
Well, he'd have to have a low pitch count. A real low pitch count.
You know, he's going to be fine, man. He's going to be throwing 98-mile-an-hour worth of gas. You know, the other thing I will say, watching Verlander pitch last night, I'm like, why can't anybody hit a high fastball?
Yeah, I know. Because it's 95 miles an hour moving.
Encarnacion should be like eating that stuff in his sleep.
Yeah, well, that's why these guys are who they are. I mean, and then Gerrit Cole, that same fastball, is 4 or 5 miles an hour faster than Justin Verlander. You're going to be seeing that on Tuesday. And it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, and it's going to be an early start and everything. And it's just those two pitchers are going to be throwing darts.
Come on, this baseball game. As much as you are disappointed if you are a Yankee fan, just for me as a baseball fan, this game had everything.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a real baseball
game.
I
better have everything when it's 5 hours long, right?
I understand that, but it had everything you wanted, man, except for maybe a few more home runs from your home team. I don't know what to tell you. The other team has got really good players, too. This is why we all think this is going to be an epic 7-game series. And the Yankees, somewhere along the line here, are going to have to be Cole or Verlander.
Yeah, if you want to go glass half full, fluid to the top, Brody Van Wagenen, you know, glass half full is that, you know, the Yankees beat the Astros easily in Game 1, and it takes the Astros everything that they have to win Game 2, and now you're coming back to Yankee Stadium where the Astros had struggled on the road in the ALDS. That's the glass half full. The glass half empty is the fact that, all right, you lost this game, and now you're facing the best pitcher in the world in Game 3, and you might be down 2 games to 1.
Hey, just have one more run than the other team. You know, yesterday's game doesn't mean anything to today or tomorrow. Nothing. Everybody will be available. Everybody will be available. Everybody will be ready to go.
Yeah.
And I Aaron Boone learned from last year. He learned, and he's trying to do something about it, and he's invoking and putting himself right in the mix and making decisions that I think for the most part worked yesterday, maybe with the exception of Ottavino. Maybe that one pitch, but that one pitch didn't cost them the game. It only tied the game.
Yeah.
It's the offense that should have won the game because Chapman came in and just was like, boom.
Right.
He was like,
threw a lot of pitches. I was hoping he could go for 2 innings. But yeah, he was great. It's all about the offense. That's all it's going to be. And it's going to continue to be all about the offense.
Speaking of offense, the Jets have a quarterback.
Yes.
So for the last 3 weeks when people were just hammering away at the Jets and Adam Gase, he's supposed to be a quarterback. I'm like, you know, he's playing with a flag football quarterback, for God's sake, for 2.5 games. And you saw that. And what you saw yesterday was the guy that this entire franchise is built around. And if there was one criticism that I would just say about yesterday's game, and it's also a compliment as well as a criticism, is that in the fourth quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, there was a series there where they just came out and just threw. And I think they got like 30 seconds off the clock, and then Dallas took the ball down the other way. It was maybe to try to run it a little bit more and to try to just maybe eat up a couple minutes of that situation. So that may be a little bit of a criticism, but the compliment that comes along with that criticism is that this coach is like, hey, you're my quarterback. I'm putting the ball in your hands, and you're going to throw it. And Adam Gase was, even though they didn't score a ton of points in the second half, when the game really got tight and Dallas started to come back, he was still throwing, man. He had the ball in the hands of his quarterback.
He was quarterback deprived for a month, right? Man. He didn't care about anything.
But so that's
like he was playing a video game.
But that's my compliment. My compliment is that, you know, he is not trying to put this quarterback in bubble wrap. I mean, he is like, you're out there, you're playing, and we're throwing it, and you're going to be our guy. And what that takes me back to, and it makes me think about Adam Gase's history, okay? When he was with Denver and they were with Peyton Manning, and when Peyton Manning was healthy out there, that's what they were doing. They were throwing when other people would be running. And that's the aggressive nature that I compliment and that I like. And the fact that he's putting on his young quarterback, and they may not make it to the playoffs this year. Who knows? You never know. Things change pretty quickly in this league, as we have found out from week to week. But this is about the future of Sam Darnold, and this is how I'm coaching you. So you better get your ass ready, and you're going to throw when you think we should be running, when we should be eating up clock. But at the end of the day, we're going to throw to win in this league, and you're going to do it, son.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that. I give Adam a compliment in regards to his aggressive nature, but I also, watching the game and just thinking like, man, they could have taken about 2.5 minutes off the clock. And maybe they don't get into the situation that they had late in the game.
Well, but through a critical pick in the red zone, too, which is a big part of this.
They're going to be aggressive.
No, I don't understand.
I kind of like it, man. And you know what? Now all of a sudden, the offensive line doesn't look so crappy.
Yeah, well, right? Everybody, it's the same thing we talked about with the Giants and everything else. It's the quarterback position.
Now the receivers don't look so crappy.
Right, of course.
You know, so all these idiots that have been talking for the last 2.5 weeks have no idea what they're talking about, because – as you found out, as your quarterback played great yesterday in Minnesota, it is about that position.
Exactly.
And that position changes the whole dynamic of the team. And that's why, you know, we've been hearing so much about Sam for 6 months since Adam Gase got here in their relationship, because of what you saw, how he handled them yesterday.
He's throwing touchdowns just as fast as he can. Everyone's crazy about our QB, Sam. Come on!
Oh, my God. You know, I'd like to think that we have two really good young quarterbacks that are going to be good here for the next 10 years.
So far, so good, right?
I think.
So far, so good. Couple of guys that were picked in the, you know, back-to-back drafts, and one at 3 and one at 6.
Wasn't it nice to see the ball being thrown down the field?
Nice.
How about the touchdown pass?
It was like, you know, seeing the lake in a desert.
How about the bomb down the middle?
No, it was unbelievable.
Oh, God, it was
92
like,
yards to Robbie Anderson.
Yeah. That was like,
Luke
all right.
Luke Falk's got to feel like crap. I was thinking about it. Like all these guys in the postgame. Le'Veon Bell, yeah, we've been missing that, man. We've been terrible. This is awful. And every player, man, was just the last couple of weeks have just been so pathetic. And, you know, Sam's been able to come in here and inject light. Luke Falk's got to be like, man.
You know what? Luke Falk is
maybe
in
I should
some
do something else.
Somewhere right now saying, I played in the show, baby. He's got a story to tell. Yeah, he played. He made it.
I guess.
You know, it's not his fault, but he made it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.